The MMA on the Rocks podcast is intended for adult audiences and does contain some explicit content. So if you are not an adult, please make sure your parents do not know you are listening to this and do not repeat anything you hear on this show in front of them. Also a reminder that even if you fight recklessly, please remember to drink responsibly. Now that we have that out of the way, let's get to the show. Welcome to MMA on the Rocks. My name is Bill Welker. You are listening to episode 261 of the podcast, where you're joining us live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. If you want to catch the show live, then follow at MMA on the Rocks at any one of those three locations. Turn on your notifications so you know when we're going live, like right now. Today's Sunday, October 24th. One day removed from some MMA action, and also one day removed from my wife's birthday. So very happy birthday, Claudia. Hope you enjoyed your day. We did a lot of fun stuff, which I'm going to get into on the show as well. But happy, happy, happy birthday to one of my best friends in this life. And the other one happens to be staring back at me on the computer screen all the way from New Jersey, Jeff. The Animal Wilson. Jeff, how you feeling on this Sunday evening, my friend?
Bill, I'm feeling frosty. The temp's going down. It's time for some pumpkin lattes, dude.
Tis the season. We got faked out here, man. We had like a couple of days of cool weather, and I started wearing jeans. And then I went out. I went outside with jeans on, and I was like, holy shit. I feel like I'm suffocating. Like I feel like I'm dying. Are you commenting on the show while you're on it?
Yeah, Bill. I got to get the traffic going as we navigate through the sea of the YouTube algorithm.
Well, here's a comment from Jeff. Pumpkin latte season. I actually did have a not a latte, but Starbucks does like the nitro cold brew coffee. And I had a couple of squirts of the pumpkin spice in that. I like the nitro cold brew. I don't know. I think they just like spray air into it. I don't think there's anything to it. It's just like regular ass coffee, but tastes good. So did that. You know, the wife likes the pumpkin coffee. So I ran out to Starbucks yesterday to get her that amidst all the other festivities, celebrating her time on this earth. She made me do a TikTok yesterday. It was like some stupid dance thing, but whatever. It was her birthday. She wanted to do a TikTok, so I obliged. We also went to a really awesome restaurant in North Tampa, and it's called Ella's Folk Art Cafe, Jeff. And I think it might be my new favorite restaurant in Tampa. Awesome whiskey collection. They made some really great cocktails. The food was excellent. But they have their own whiskey that they barrel age. So they don't make the whiskey. I don't know where they source the whiskey from. But they take it and Solera age it. So Solera aging, you know, as a Spanish speaker, Jeff, Solera meaning just like on the ground. So they take the bottom. So usually in whiskey aging, you rotate barrels. Some are up high and some are on the ground. And instead of like rotating the barrels, what they do is they take more aged whiskey and combine it with younger aged whiskey to kind of speed up the aging process. So you might take a whiskey that's been in a barrel for 6 years and combine it with a whiskey that's been in a barrel for 2 years, and you have, you know, like an average age of 4 years. You following me, Jeff?
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds more complicated than it is. So basically they have barrels of whiskey, and you can try their house barrel aged whiskey, and then you can bring some home. So I got this 1 liter like growler, basically like how you would get beer from a distillery. They just fill it with whiskey. I don't know if this is legal, what they're doing. Like, they're just giving you a homemade bottle of hooch to take home with you.
But it's moonshine, Bill.
It's really good, Jeff. It's got like, it's got like almost like a sherry sweetness to it. The finish is like a spicy rye. But just like, you know, really nice whiskey. And it's really cool that you can bring whiskey home from a restaurant that they, you know, they don't make it at the restaurant, but they age it in barrels there. So that's really cool. I've actually had like quite a whiskey journey this weekend, Jeff, including today. Today we went to another restaurant. We got a babysitter. We were just like, we like never go out. And then this weekend, you know, the wife's birthday, we're just going out like every day. So we went out with her parents yesterday on her actual birthday. And then we had a babysitter today. We went out, just the two of us, to St. Pete, which is, you know, nearby town here. I'm sure a lot of people have heard of it. Famous beaches and such. Young kind of college town. But there's a restaurant called Urban Stillhouse, Jeff. And it happens to be the headquarters of Horse Soldier Bourbon, which I always thought was from Ohio. Turns out it's from St. Pete. It's from right here. This is where the headquarters is. The restaurant is the headquarters. That's where their corporate office is for Horse Soldier Bourbon. They just distill their bourbon in Ohio. And they actually have a really cool story. So there was these 12 soldiers, Jeff, after 9/11 that went over to Afghanistan hunting down Al-Qaeda, and they had to ride wild Afghan horses to, you know, get through the mountains, and they wound up capturing and killing, I think, the second in command of Al-Qaeda right after 9/11. So there were 12 of these horse soldiers. They all came back alive, and four of them started a distillery called Horse Soldier Bourbon. And my buddy Matt Temple, who's actually listening to the show right now and graciously allowing us to start the show now that he's here, brought a bottle of Horse Soldier to my house for a fight night over a year ago. It had to have been, originally exposed me to this. But now I know the full story, and it's so cool. Like, these four guys went, you know, riding horses through Afghanistan to hunt down Al-Qaeda. You know, there were 12 of them in the special ops unit. And when they came back, four of them started the distillery. And then they all retired and moved to St. Pete here. And they opened up this restaurant. And they have all the Horse Soldier Bourbon there. And you can sample. They have three basic styles. So they have like their regular bourbon. They have a barrel strength, which the one I tried was 119 proof. And the wife actually liked that one the best, Jeff. And she drank it no problem, straight. Wow. Like a champ. Yeah, she didn't need any water, ice, anything. And then they have a small batch. But the story is just so cool. And then I forget if it was like a museum society or something. They donated steel from the World Trade Center, you know, the steel beams. They donated it to these veterans who opened the distillery, and they made the molds that they form their glass bottles out of from this steel from the World Trade Center. So they took the steel beams, I guess, melted them down and made the glass molds. And that's what they that's what they make the bottles out of that they bottle their whiskey in. So just like so many layers to the story, that's so cool. And on top of it all, it's really good whiskey. So it's not like, oh, this is a cool story, but the whiskey's eh. Like, it's really good. And I prefer the barrel strength myself. 119 proof, but it drinks like, you know, it drinks like an 86 proof, like Old Forester. So, shout out to Horse Soldier in St. Pete. I'll definitely check them out again. They do like tours and like, you know, guided tastings and stuff like that. But it was really cool. And I had some other whiskey run-ins this weekend as well. It was a busy weekend, Jeff, but I'll save that for the end. We'll get into some MMA stuff. But any reactions on the heroes over at Horse Soldier that are, you know, still continuing to service this country by making high quality booze?
Yeah, for sure, dude. First of all, Bill, happy birthday to Claudia. I texted her a happy birthday yesterday. I was running around a little bit, catching up with work, but wished her a happy birthday. I'm glad you guys have had fun. And Bill, happy early birthday to you, because your birthday is tomorrow, brother. So happy early birthday.
That it is, you know, according to this calendar that we go by. But
yeah,
and thank you, Jeff, but it's funny, like, you know, when your life partner's birthday is 2 days before yours, like, it becomes even more inconsequential than it normally would at my age. Like, I'm not at the age where I'm like into celebrating my birthday anymore, but like it definitely means even less. Like, the whole weekend is dedicated to her, but I, not that I didn't benefit from it, because I got to try some awesome whiskey, but yeah, what else were you gonna say?
Yeah, speaking of, man, the story for Horse Soldier Whiskey sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. That's definitely a place I want to check out. Definitely want to check out the food too. You know, I'm a big food person, but dude, I love the story. I love that, you know, they took a part of the World Trade Center and are making it into something that they use and fabricate with every mm-hmm. single day. I think that's awesome. I think these guys are heroes, you know, literally fought terrorists, and now they can retire and do something they enjoy. So thanks to the makers of Horse Soldier Whiskey, not only for your service to the United States, but like you said, the continuing service of making awesome booze.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is distributed all around the world. And I didn't know this, but there's actually a statue. There's like a Horse Soldier statue that's at the 9/11 Memorial in New York City. And they had a replica in the restaurant. The restaurant is like a beautiful space too, Jeff. It's like a huge warehouse. It's reservation only, and they do a lot of parties and stuff. And the bartender was telling me some guy rented the whole place out for his 50th birthday a few weeks ago. The guy was like a billionaire. He didn't say who he was or anything, but he was like, oh, yeah, it was like 65 grand. He just rented Jeez. Out the whole place, just bottles and bottles. He had brought a stage in, and they had like four bands play inside the restaurant. Like, he set up a concert for himself inside this distillery. I was like, man, talk about life goals.
Yeah.
Like, you rent out a place that makes awesome whiskey, and you just have like your favorite bands come in and play for you for your, like, maybe by my 50th birthday, I'll be at that level, Jeff. I got goals now.
Nah, Bill, you have a kid, so all your yeah, money's right. tied up in that.
Yeah.
That's how much her first year of college is going to cost. 65 yeah. grand.
Pretty much. I mean, private daycare wasn't far off.
Oh, man.
But that's why I have a drinking problem.
Oh, man.
You know, pills are too expensive.
Oh, shit. Oh, man.
Anyway, yeah, The kid thing is no joke, though. Like, I nobody told me how expensive kids were going to be. Like, even today, just to go out to a restaurant, do some day drinking, we went out, we bar hopped a little bit in St. Pete, but, you know, we had to pay a babysitter to be here for like 6 hours. So that's why we don't go out that often. So I guess, you know, you got to take advantage when you have a reason to celebrate, like, you know, a couple of birthdays. Do them all at once, and then you know, we don't go out for a year.
Bill, that actually sounds like my perfect birthday. Bill, maybe I should have a kid. This sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Only have to go out once a year.
Yeah. Or, you know, come down here for your birthday. Even though you Can we break the news, Jeff?
Yeah, Bill.
That you're going to be here, brother. For UFC. UFC 268, is it? You're going to be here for?
Yeah, it's gonna be all rematches. I can't wait, Bill. So here's how it works. That first week of November, I have the whole week off from work, but the card is on Saturday. So I booked the flight for Thursday night, and then I basically have to drive to the airport after the card is over, Bill, because I fly out Sunday morning, because I figured if I get stuck in Florida, I have to work the next day. So if I miss a flight or something, maybe I can run back to New Jersey or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if we're going to do a live episode, we're going to have to do it while the fights are going on or right after they're over and stay up till 3 a.m. You might as well stay up all night and go to the airport.
Yeah, Bill, that's the plan, dude. Because the flight is at 7:30 in the morning that Sunday. So, hey, I'm fine staying up all night, Bill. You can't do that though. You have a kid to feed.
Yeah,
and she'll wake you up at 7:30 too.
Oh man, we had her up late last night too, hoping, all right, birthday weekend, maybe we'll get her to sleep in. And she slept into 7:30. But still, she's just for a tiny little person, she's very aggressive, you know? When she wants me to get out of the bed, there's no way I could sleep through it, because she'll just push her little body up against something and put her feet on my face and just kick me out of the bed. I don't know how she gets so much leverage. But she manages. She's a feisty little turd. Anyway, she's been awesome though. We baked a cake for my wife's birthday, and she did everything, man. I just got a basic box of cake from the grocery store, but it required 3 eggs. And she cracked all 3 eggs without getting a single piece of shell in it. I don't think I could even do that, Jeff. I feel whenever I have to crack eggs, I'm picking out the shell pieces.
Yeah, I saw that on your Instagram. I was like, holy crap, she knows what she's doing in there, Bill.
Yeah, she's got flawless egg cracking technique. I don't know if it's just a natural gift or if it's tiny little carny hands. That help, but in any case, it was awesome. It was really cool to see her so excited to celebrate her mom's birthday, and she decorated the cake herself, so it was just a pile of frosting, sprinkles everywhere, and she started to write happy birthday, and she wrote HA on it with the icing thing, and I was like, is this kid some kind of super genius? Is she gonna write happy? She knows how to spell at 3. But it ended at HA, and it just became some scribbles after that. But I guess I don't have a super genius, but she's pretty all right.
Oh man. See, Bill, you tell me stuff like that, and I'm like, you know what, this whole being a dad thing might not be so bad.
Just live vicariously. Save your liver some trauma. Any case, speaking of trauma to the internal organs, that's what weight cutting does. And Paulo Costa saved himself some of that. There was just it was kind of weird how this all came about, Jeff. It's they did a press conference and Paulo Costa was like, yeah, I'm not fighting at 185. It's going to have to be at a different weight. I don't know what. But he just made it seem like, yeah, no big deal. Dude, you're changing the whole weight class that you agreed to. And then it was going to be a 195-pound catch weight. And then they just made it 205. And Costa's just there, his hair's falling out as he's talking. And he's like, yeah, I'm just not going to. It's not going to do. It reminded me of the movie Office Space. Have you ever seen that movie, Jeff?
No, Bill. And up until this moment, I'd never heard of it either.
Oh, you have to see Office Space. So basically, The main character, and I forget the actor's name, but Jennifer Aniston is in it too. The main character is in it in a relationship, and that, you know, it's not working out. So she takes him to get hypnotized, and the guy makes it so like he doesn't care about anything anymore while he's hypnotized. And then before he can snap him out of it, the hypnotist dies of a heart attack. Oh. So he just kind of is like lethargic and doesn't give a shit about anything. And just like kind of shows up to work and like, ah, whatever. He had a really stressful job and he's just like, ah, whatever. And then like all these great things start happening to him. But his attitude through it, when he's in this hypnotized state, when Jennifer Aniston's asking like, how are you going to pay your bills? And like, you're not going to go to work anymore. He's like, nah, I never really liked paying bills. I don't think I'm going to do that anymore. But that's kind of like exactly the attitude Paulo Costa had going into this fight. He's like, I never really liked making weight, so I don't think I'm going to do that anymore.
Dude, like, dude, I knew that it had been changed to light heavyweight, but dude, Paulo Costa almost weighed in at heavyweight, dude. He was like 204.5, like another pound and a half, and he another 2.5 pounds, and he's a heavyweight, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, listen, he might as well shave his head. I mean, his hairline's receding anyway. Like, just do anything you can to make that weight.
Yeah, I mean, he's taking that kind of steroids that makes everything die but your muscles. Like, yeah, his hair's just, like, falling off his head in clumps. And I think he had, like, a hair transplant surgery or something like that.
Well, it didn't work. So he needs to call somebody about getting his money back, dude.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's getting his money back from his steroid supplier, but, you know, maybe from the transplant place. But whatever he's injecting into himself to make his hair fall out, I don't think there's a good refund policy on any of that.
Dude, Bill, before we get into the fight, I have to call out Marvin Vettori's post-fight interview. He took everything in stride, man. And he was just like, hey, you know, I'll fight whoever they put in front of me. And as for Paulo Costa, I'm going to use his check to buy a new car or something like that. Bill, I love
it. Oh, yeah, he said he's going to buy a new watch.
Yeah, that's what he said. Dude, I loved it. Loved it, man. But, Bill, let's get into the fight here.
Yeah, so credit to Vettori for taking the fight. And, you know, I think he negotiated for 20% of Costa's purse. So, like, Costa had to fork over, like, he gets the weight class change, but he had to pay the money anyway. And then he tried to say, like, oh, I never signed a contract for 185 anyway. Like, dude, yes, you did. That's why they put it on a poster and made it a main event. Like, because you signed a contract. They didn't just do that without your permission. Like, you signed something that said you were going to show up at this weight, and then you're like, nah, I don't feel like it. But, you know, he's going to be a victim of his own, you know, whatever you call it, laziness, work ethic, I don't know, lack of discipline, because now Dana White said he can only fight at 205 from now on. So he can only fight at the weight class, which he just lost at, to a middleweight. Like, Vettori's not a light heavyweight, and he clearly won this fight. Yeah. And now Costa's going to have to fight real light heavyweights going forward. Like, he's screwed.
Yeah. Like, oh, sorry to cut you off, Bill. But something I noticed was, like you said, the size differential, man. Costa looked a lot bigger. Listen, after that first round, he was just breathing heavy, man, and praying to land a knockout blow. But, man, credit to Vettori, dude. Vittori's got, I don't know what his chin is made out of. Maybe steel. But he took some big shots, man.
Nah, he's Italian. It's made out of, like, bocce balls or something. You ever play that game, Jeff?
Bill, yes, I have. So the park by my house, and Bill, I took you there once, but there was, and this was many years ago, but there's one part of the park where a whole bunch of older Italian gentlemen will get together and play bocce. So, you know, as the town started changing and stuff and the Hispanics moved in, now the older Italians are teaching the younger Hispanics how to play bocce. So sometimes I'll jump into a game. Very fun.
That's cool. Do you understand much Italian? It's pretty similar to Spanish.
Yeah. I took 4 years of Italian in high school. So I understand more than I can speak because I forget some of the words sometimes. But like I could read a newspaper to you in Italian and tell you what I read and stuff.
Nice. When you come down, you're going to have to get an Italian newspaper. You just read it to me while I fan myself and play bocce ball. Very little MMA on this show. I don't mind it. It gets more fun when I've been day drinking all day. But I mean, Vettori's no small guy himself. I heard a lot of people talking about the size difference. Like, Vettori's fucking huge. I don't know how that guy makes 185, but he does. Like, he's very muscle bound, and he was starting to, you know, suck some wind in that fight too. But I think what separates Vettori from a lot of fighters is his will. Like, he's just, no matter how exhausted he is, he wants it so bad. And that's really, you know, the defining thing in his career. But I was actually pretty impressed with Costa. You know, he was in there in the fourth and fifth. You know, he was still swinging. He was still a threat. He was still landing some big shots. So it's not like he was ever really out of the fight, but he was never winning either. You know, it was pretty much all Vettori, and you know, Vettori got a couple takedowns. So it was a good fight, man. It was, you know, those guys were slugging it out. And you know, I was surprised to see Costa still in there towards the end, but I guess, you know, he doesn't gas as much if he doesn't have to cut as much weight. But he was saying he was like 211 going into fight week. You know, that's a problem. If you're supposed to be fighting at 185 and you're just like, nah.
Yeah, dude. Like I said, man, he almost stepped onto the scale as a heavyweight, dude. But listen, I thought Vettori fought really well. And Bill, I actually gave the fourth round to Paulo Costa. I think he landed some really, really heavy shots and had Marvin Vettori backed up against the cage really well. And I think Vettori had to go back to the drawing board a little bit in that fifth round because you saw a lot more of the clinch and the attempts at takedowns and stuff. But, man, Bill, aside from, you know, the antics outside of the cage, Bill, this was an awesome fight, dude. And if anybody missed it, definitely go back and watch it because Vettori mixes it up really well. And I was surprised to see Paulo Costa grapple as much as he did. I believe it was the third round, I want to say, where he went for that guillotine and he took Vettori down. And I was just like, holy crap, dude. Like, it was a good fight, man.
Yeah.
Take nothing away from these guys.
Yeah. And Costa actually had a good strategy. Like, he was going to the body on Vettori a lot, too, because Vettori has great cardio. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't really get tired in there. But Costa, those body kicks, man.
Oh,
he was really cracking them in there. And, Tommaso Mark makes a good point here that kind of what I said that Costa is screwed at 205, but you know, he names people like Nikita Krylov, Devin Clark, Roundtree, and Ion Cutelaba. I would love to see Ion Cutelaba and Paulo Costa. Like, let's make that happen. Hey, UFC, ring, ring. There we go. That's the fight to make right there. And as for Vettori, like, what do you do with him? Like, he was probably the number three ranked middleweight. He just beat a light heavyweight. That doesn't do anything for him in terms of the middleweight rankings. You can't put him back in there with Adesanya because that was so one-sided. Like, you know, maybe if Robert Whittaker wins, you know, we could do Whittaker versus Vettori. But other than that, like, what do you do with Marvin after this?
Yeah, Bill, I like Vettori versus Whittaker. I'd love to even see Yoel Romero versus Marvin Vettori. If, you know, if Romero, is he still in the promotion? No, right? I think he's
He's in Bellator now.
Yeah, so you can't do that. Plus, you know, Yoel Romero is like, how old is he? Like 42 or something?
He's older than that, man. And, you know, coming from Cuba, some of those numbers get a little fudgy-fudged.
Yeah, he could be here. He could be 53, 49, for all we know.
Yeah, he could be 22. We don't know.
Yeah.
Even though he was in the Olympics, like, there's still no way to be sure.
Yep.
Like, that birth certificate could have gone in a couple of different directions. But, yeah, I thought it was a really fun main event. I watched the main event first because I didn't realize that this card was on so early. So I go to put the fights on, like, when we got back from dinner last night, and it was, like, already the main event. And I was like, oh, all right. So I kind of, like, I think I watched the whole card, but I kind of piecemealed. Like, I stayed up last night and watched a few fights. I wound up falling asleep. And then this morning, I put it back on. I tried to go back and watch the prelims and everything. But let's get into this co-main event, Jeff, because this fight had a wild ending, I thought, with Grant Dawson and Ricky Glenn. So the story of this fight, Grant Dawson's wrestling through the first two rounds, just dominant. It looked like he was going to cruise his way to a victory. But then in the third round, Ricky Glenn was like, oh, no, motherfucker, I'm still here. And, you know, he got on top of Grant Dawson, great top control, got him in a darce choke right at the end of the round. And it looked like Dawson almost couldn't get up. Like, borderline, Mike Beltran could have just given the fight to Ricky Glenn at that point. So it's like, oh, man, what's going to happen with this decision? You would think Dawson's just going to get it. But, you know, two of the judges gave Glenn a 10-8 round in that third round. And I think it was well-deserved. Like, Dawson, if there was a fourth round, I don't think Dawson's getting off the stool. So that's something to take into consideration. Like, even if that round was like 15 seconds longer, he was going out. So you got to take that into consideration when you're scoring it. And I think the draw was the right call. I thought it was an awesome fight. I thought it was an incredible comeback from Ricky Glenn. I know it's not like a crowd-pleasing fight, because it was very grappling heavy, but I loved this fight, Jeff.
Yeah, Bill, this fight was absolutely fantastic, man. Seeing Ricky Glenn just come back in that third round, Bill, I thought he was done. I thought Grant Dawson had too much in his locker, was too heavy on top. Ricky Glenn was taking some deep breaths. And then in the third round, we see Grant Dawson, just the tank was empty. Mm-hmm. And Bill, I actually had this fight for Grant Dawson, but something that Michael Bisping said at the end of that fight changed my mind. When, like you said, darce choke at the end, Grant Dawson, at first, to me, the darce choke didn't look that tight. It looked like there was a little too much space. But at the end, when the bell rang, Grant Dawson, he fell back a little bit, tried to get up, falls back, and his face is all red. So at first I start thinking, all right, fight's over, whatever. But then Ricky Glenn does something that I have not seen ever done. He starts pointing at Grant Dawson while he's on the ground. And he starts walking around to the judges and pointing at Grant Dawson. And Michael Bisping brought up an excellent point. He said, you know, he's pointing out to the judges that Grant Dawson is having a hard time getting up. Mm-hmm. And to me, Bill, that sealed the deal. I was like, holy crap, he's right. Grant Dawson cannot get up by himself. So at least that's what it looked like to me. So that changed my mind. I gave that third round a 10-8 to Ricky Glenn, because at the end of the fight, he looked like the winner.
Yeah.
And Bill, to your point, like you said, 15 more seconds. I'll even go ahead and say 10 more seconds, and I think Grant Dawson's out. So for me, it was a great fight, first of all. And second, I thought the draw was deserved. What a fight, man.
Yeah. I mean, Grant Dawson, awesome wrestling, incredible top control. But off his back, it's a whole new world, as Aladdin would say. I thought it was smart of Ricky Glenn to point and say, like, he's got to get up. I wouldn't have even been mad if Mike Beltran called it a technical submission. Like, when he looked at Grant Dawson and saw, like, he almost face planted and he couldn't stand up, if he just went, like, wave the fight off, that's more reasonable to me than what happened with Mirab Dabalashvili and Ricky Simon, when Ricky Simon had that guillotine at the end of the fight after getting dominated for 15 minutes. And Mark Goddard from the fifth row was like, no, 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 that was a submission. I know, because I could sense it. I could smell the tap coming. Or like whatever fucking ridiculous explanation he had for that one. Like, this would have been more reasonable if they called it a technical submission at the bell. Because like, he lets go of the choke and the guy almost face plants, like, kind of lost, bud. But I think the draw was the fair way to score it. If I were in that position, I'd like to think I would have done the same thing. But yeah, grappling was the story of that fight. Grappling wins fights. As we saw with Jessica Rose Clark, her wrestling looked good, man. You know, after a year, year and a half off, whatever it was, she was dominant in there against Jocelyn Edwards. Been training with Daniel Cormier, got that wrestling game up. She looks really, Jesse Jess looks really good in there. What did you think, Chip?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Bill. I love the grappling heavy attack. Her wrestling looked really good. And it was just, you know, Jocelyn Edwards had her moments too. I want to say in that second and part of the third round. But, you know, Jessica Rose Clark just had a little too much in the grappling department, man. She looked like she's been wrestling for a while. So, you know, my recommendation, keep working with DC. You know, the man's a legend in the sport, in two sports, actually. But, man, Jesse Jess, what a way to come back, dude.
Yeah. DC is on my list of, like, you know, if I could train with anybody, like, he would definitely be on my top five. Like, I just feel like I could learn so much from that guy. We have similar kind of styles and body types. So DC is like my spirit animal. But yeah, I mean, it definitely shows like he's a great teacher. Like, he did a great job, whatever he did with Jessica Rose Clark. So she looked really good. Another really exciting fight, Alex Caceres, Bruce Leroy, and Sungwoo Choi. Man, these guys beating the crap out of each other. You know, Sungwoo Choi landed some big shots. Caceres landed some big shots. Then there was an illegal blow in there. Caceres had to, you know, take some time. And then out of nowhere, he just jumps on Choi's back. And then it's game over. Five wins in a row for Bruce Leroy. Give me your thoughts, Jeff.
Bill, this fight was awesome too, man. Credit to Jason Herzog on that knee, man, because as soon as he saw it, he stopped the fight. I like that he didn't – well, he called a timeout. I'm sorry, he didn't stop the fight. He called a timeout. I'm glad he didn't stop the fight because it ended up being a great fight. He did take a point away, which I thought was more than fair. I thought he handled the situation so well, Bill. You know, we always point out when the refs mess up, but Jason Herzog, I give him 5 stars for that performance last night, man. And yeah, dude, Bruce Leroy, what a comeback, because he was getting the shit kicked out of him in that first round, dude. I thought this was going to be Sungwoo Choi's night, and Caceres coming back and using some really nice footwork up against the cage to get out of Woo Choi's way and then jump on his back, man. Go back and watch this fight. The way he gets onto Woo Choi's back was awesome. But Bill, I cut you off. What were you going to say?
I think I was just going to comment on the fact that Jason Herzog did a great job all around. He took that point from Paulo Costa, and Costa started arguing with him, and Herzog was having none of it. He's half his size, and he's like, oh no, you bloated Ricky Martin. You don't tell me what to do. I'm Jason fucking Herzog. 1 point, bitch.
Yeah. Bill, I forgot what that was for. Was that for a finger to the eye? What was it?
I think so. And Costa started arguing with him, and Jason Herzog was like, oh no, I'm definitely taking a point now, motherfucker. So that was great. Herzog is like, he's the gold standard of refereeing to me. Like, he's the best. You know, if I have somebody that I really care about getting in there, I hope he's reffing it. If not him, then Keith Peterson. Those two are, you know, top tier in my book. let's see, Francisco Trinaldo, another point deduction here. This one was from Chris Tognoni against Dwight Grant. He kneed him in the head also. And it was like, not like a hard knee, but his hands were down and his face was like pinned against the cage. If I'm remembering, I don't know. There were so many fouls last night. I'm thinking I'm combining some of them.
Bill, maybe I'm remembering it differently, but I thought that point deduction was a finger to the eye.
Okay, yeah. So the knee I'm thinking of was the Mason Jones David Onama fight then.
Gotcha.
But yeah, so point there was a lot of point deductions last night. It was, you know, the referees were not messing around.
Yeah, and Chris Tognoni, I remember clearly he had told Francisco Trinaldo a few times, you know, fingers up, not out. And I thought the point deduction was a great call. Mm-hmm. Dude, but Francisco Trinaldo, man, he showed up last night, dude. He put it on Dwight Grant. I was surprised, man, considering Trinaldo's like, you know, 84.
Yeah. Like I said last week, I loved him as the dad in the Wayans brothers.
Dude, that joke never gets old.
I'm going to say it every time he fights. So for the next 12 years, you guys have to look forward to hearing that joke. Like, it is impressive. And Bisping asked him, like, oh, how do you keep going at this age? He's like, oh, I train 3 times a day and lots of steroids. Subway sandwiches and lots of steroids. Yeah, I mean, the dude for 43 years old definitely doesn't pass the eye test. That's for sure. We're getting unhinged here today, Jeff. This is day drinking, Bill, we're dealing with here. I'm drinking straight bourbon since like 2 in the afternoon. It's time to let loose. Nicola Negomarano, TKO over Ike Newhouse. I feel like that should be his name.
I mean, that's the translation of his name, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Don't you think he should be that? Ike Newhouse Villanueva. I think that every time I see this guy's name. But Negomarano, awesome wrestler. And turns out he's got some knockout power, too. 1 minute, 18 seconds into this fight, you know, cleaned Ike's clock. Did you catch this one, Jeff?
No, I started the card at the Trinaldo fight. I didn't realize how early this card was going to be. I thought it was going to be on at like 7, mm-hmm. and it started at 4.
Yeah. Well, let me give you a couple of other fights that you need to watch then. So definitely that one. Gregory Rodriguez, John Young Park. Definitely you need to watch this one, Jeff. This one was a back and forth slugfest. In the first round, Rodriguez had Park's back. It looked like he was just dominating him on the ground. And then in the second round, Park came out like guns blazing, almost knocked Rodriguez out. And then Rodriguez came back and knocked Park out about halfway through the second round. That was an awesome fight. Mason Jones and David Onama was a really good fight. Mason Jones, same kind of thing, out grappled Onama for a lot of it, but looked really good on the feet too. Jones got like a big mouse under his left eye. It looked like possible broken orbital. That was a really exciting fight. But this was the fight I was thinking of earlier where Onama was against the fence. He had both hands on the mat. And Mason Jones kneed him in the head. And it was like light, like he kind of pulled back, but Onama's head was pinned against the cage. So it's like there's nowhere for your head to go, like once the impact happens. So I don't know if a point was deducted for that. I don't think it was, because they decided it was, you know, he didn't do it on purpose, but action-packed fight. Tabitha Ricci and Maria Oliveira, didn't watch. Jamie Pickett, unanimous decision over Laureano Staropoli. And then Jai Herbert, what do they call him? The Black Country Banger, TKO over Kama Worthy. Nasty. Wow. Nasty. Kama worthy not to man. Not to kick a dude while he's down, but he has a knockout loss to our boy Billy Quarantillo as well. So I gotta add that little bit of information. That's back when Billy was a lightweight. Now he's a featherweight. So Billy was knocking dudes out a weight class above. Now he's doing damage at 145. Going to be on the main card at Madison Square Garden in 2 weeks for the card that you're going to be here to watch with me, Jeff. We're going to watch our boy Billy Q go to work.
Yep. And Bill, I figured it would be cheaper to fly down to Florida and watch it with you than it would be to go 15 minutes into New York to Madison Square Garden and take the trade over.
Yeah. Plus, you got to bring your like proof of vaccination and your birth certificate and like, I don't know, a pubic hair from one parent, I think, to prove like the DNA, something along those lines. Like they got a lot of regulations going on.
Yeah, it's less hassle. Plus, it's probably going to be packed. I'm less likely to get COVID, you know, on the airplane where everybody has to wear a mask than at Madison Square Garden where I don't know anybody from a can of paint. So,
yeah. Well, everybody, I think everybody who goes to Madison Square Garden, I believe, has to be vaccinated. I don't know. I think all the fighters on the card have to be vaccinated. There was really? Something. That's why I think Michael Chandler refused to fight there or something. I don't know. Once I see politics getting involved, it's like, oh, it's because he voted for Trump. It's like, I don't give a fuck anymore. Like, just stop talking to me. I just check out.
Bill, day drinking Bill is my new favorite iteration of Bill. You're not holding anything back. I love it. You're angry, Bill. I love it.
I'm not angry. I'm having a great time. But this kind of reminds me, Jeff, I took Ariana to dance class yesterday. She does like ballet and tap on Saturday mornings. And usually I'm sparring at the gym or I'm like working with some of my guys that have fights coming up, holding pads or whatever Saturday mornings. But you know, the wife's birthday, she wanted me to come to the dance class. So I went and I'm watching the class and like this other little girl comes out of another classroom and has to go to the bathroom. One of the teachers was like, you need a parent with you. And this other grandma was there, like watching the dance class. And she's like, oh, I'll take her and help her with the bathroom. And she turns and looks at me and she goes, yeah, her mom doesn't stay. Like, I guess the mom drops the kid off at dance class and then goes grocery shopping or whatever and then comes back and picks her up. But this random grandma looks at me and is like, yeah, her mom doesn't stay. And I just want to be like, I don't give a shit. why care? This kid gets dropped off at dance class. There's a grocery store next door. She probably takes the time to get her groceries and like then comes back and picks her up. Like the kid looked like she was like 5. There's plenty of adults around. Like, why do I care? Because she said it in a way that she was like judging the lady. And it's like, like, why are people like so quick to judge others? I don't get it, Jeff. Like, just mind your business. I think Bill, people will be a lot better off.
Bill, I spent most of my 20s not minding my own business and worried about other people. And Bill, I'm turning 30 in December. And now that I don't care about anybody else's business, I'm a lot happier.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, why would you stress about what other people are doing? Like, what's going to happen to that kid? Like, there's nobody to help her go to the bathroom? Like, one of the teachers could do it. And yeah, there's like, you know, I don't know. I just feel like, why you got to be so judgy? Maybe she's like a single mother and it's the only time she has to go grocery shopping, you know, because she's got other shit to do. Like, don't judge people's situation. Anyway, speaking of judging, a few more fights on this card. Jeff Molina, TKO over Daniel Lacerda. And I remember that being a really good fight, but I don't remember the details of it right now. Randa Markos, unanimous decision over Lavina Souza. That fight was And Jonathan Martinez, unanimous decision over Zviad Lazishvili. We'll go with that. Great card overall. I recommend a bunch of these fights on the prelims for you to go back and watch, Jeff. If I had to pick one, I would say watch the Gregory Rodriguez Jun Yong Park. That was an awesome fight. Any other closing thoughts on this card, Jeff, before we move on?
No, Bill, I think we can put a bow on this one. And Bill, we talked about this last week, man, that this was going to be a surprisingly good card. And I thought it delivered compared to the last two cards.
It was really good, man. I mean, you know, we had a main event that has like zero implications for the middleweight division because you had the guy who won, you know, beat a guy who's not in his weight class anymore. And the guy who lost has to move to a weight class where, you know, he just fought in that weight class and lost to a guy who's not in it. So it's quite a conundrum, Jeff. But, you know, that's not my problem to solve. I'm just here to drink whiskey and point it out. Like, hey, look, that sucks for whoever has to figure that out. But next week, we got a free pay-per-view. I don't know if you were aware of this. But if you are an ESPN Plus member, you can view UFC. What is this one?
267.
UFC 267 for no additional charge. I forget why they did this. I think it's because they had to move the venue or I don't remember what the story was. But good news is you don't have to pay for it or find an illegal stream and, you know, end up with a bunch of porn cookies on your computer because you were looking to not pay for the fights.
Yeah, so Bill, this card is going to take place in Abu Dhabi. And Bill, this card is going to be on, like the main card starts at like 2 o'clock, which pisses me off, Bill, because the one time that it's on at a reasonable time, and I have to do something with the National Junior Honor Society at work that day. So, Bill, you know, I love being giving back to the community and helping out and all that stuff. But the one time I need this car to be on in the evening, and it's not.
Pull a fire alarm and watch it on your phone.
Bill, we're going to be outside. So unless God sends, you know, torrential rain, I'm not getting out of this one.
Well, you never know. You've been getting hurricanes up there, so it could happen. I think this is a good card. Like, Jan Blachowicz defending his light heavyweight championship against Glover Teixeira. I mean, how do you not love Glover Teixeira? He's just like this another one of these, you know, 40-year-old dudes just doing the damn thing. You know, still has knockout power, still has, you know, durability. The recent Anthony Smith fight was evidence of that when he knocked Anthony Smith's teeth out, you know, after getting beat up for a couple rounds. And, you know, older guy, just like, you know, it seems like kind of dude you just want to have a beer with. Great ground game. This is a fun fight against the, you know, the Polish hammer here, Jan Blachowicz, who probably, I would say, the most underrated or least talked about champion on the roster. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, Bill, what's he? I think he's only had one title defense, right, against Adesanya? Was that his second one?
I can tell you right now.
Because he beat Dominic Reyes for the belt, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, so I don't think he's underrated. I think people kind of just forget about him because he's only had, you know, very few, you know, low title defenses. His reign is just starting. But, Bill, I'm excited for this fight, dude.
Beat Dominic Reyes for the title and then beat
Adesanya, so this will be his second defense. But yeah, I do feel like he is the least talked about champion.
Bill, do you think that's due to marketing or just the fact that, you know, his one and only title defense so far has been against someone outside of the light heavyweight division?
I think he's just not like a marketable guy. You know, you have like, you know, Brandon Moreno, they're putting him in commercials and stuff because he has such an awesome story, you know. And then I guess like bantamweight, maybe Aljamain Sterling is the most underappreciated champion, because like every time his name comes up, people just shit on him, and now he had to pull out of this fight with Peter Yan because of a neck surgery that went awry. And it's just like that guy can just, there's nothing he can do to redeem himself with the fans until he, you know, like actually beats Peter Yan. Other than that, like, people are just going to continue shitting on him. Like, the guy can, he can't take a step in the right direction at this point. Yeah, but you know, Blachowicz is, you know, he's kind of awkward. And he tweeted about Corey Anderson's fight in Bellator, and it was like painfully obvious that Yan didn't write this tweet. Because he was like, yo, what's up with this guy? Like, I knocked his ass out and this and that. Like, it just, like, it was very clear that Yan Blachowicz did not write this. Like, his manager or somebody, like, got a hold of his phone and was, like, trying to build some heat for him. And it just came off, like, really cringeworthy. But, yeah, you know, he's just, you know, he's a quiet guy. He doesn't have much to say. He just fucks people up.
Yeah. And, Bill, that's what I'm excited most about. About this fight, man. Glover Teixeira, Yan Blachowicz, I think it's going to be fireworks, man. I think somebody gets finished in this fight. Both of these guys have, you know, Yan Blachowicz has power in his hands. Glover Teixeira has great Muay Thai as well as jiu-jitsu. We know that he can finish people on the feet or on the ground, and he's got power in his hands as well. So this is going to be a really fun fight, man. I really think this is going to go to a finish here. But, Bill, this whole card looks really good. And, Bill, you probably know more than me, but that co-main event, Peter Yan versus Corey Sandhagen, is that for an interim bantamweight championship?
Yes, it is. So the winner is going to have to face Aljamain Sterling when he's, you know, fit to fight again. So this could really throw a wrench in things, because here we have – you know, Aljamain's getting so much shit because of how the fight went down with Peter Yan. Let's say Corey Sandhagen wins, and then Aljamain has to fight Corey Sandhagen again, a guy who he blasted and submitted in like under a minute or whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah.
That's going to be worst case for Aljamain, because now he's got to wait until he's well enough to fight again, and then he's got to fight a guy that he beat in like a minute to defend the title that a lot of people don't really feel like he deserves. And then he's going to wait again to defend it against the guy that he needs to beat to redeem himself. So like, if you're Aljamain Sterling, like, again, you can't take a step in the right direction here. It's like, you're stepping in shit every way you walk. Like, you know, he had to pull out of the fight with Yan, and, you know, of course everybody's saying, oh, he's scared because Yan beat his ass the first time. And, you know, he doesn't really deserve to be champ, and, you know, whatever else they're saying on the internet, without ever really training or like having taken a punch before, nonetheless, a legal knee to the head. But that's beside the point. If Sandhagen wins, Sterling's going to be like, fuck, now I got to fight this guy again that I submitted in under a minute. And even if I beat him, I'm not going to vilify myself as the champion. So like, it's just a shitty time to be Aljamain Sterling. That's all I can say about it.
Well, Bill, the good news is I don't see Peter Yan losing to Corey Sandhagen, dude. Peter Yan is just scary. Listen, he can grapple or he can just punch in the face really hard. I mean, pick your poison. And I think he mixes it up really well, Bill, which nobody gives him credit for except me.
Well, I think a lot of people are giving him credit because, like, they you know, they side with him. He's another guy who, you know, somebody gets a hold of his Twitter every now and then, and he's like, look at this fucking bitch pulling out of the fight. And it's like, dude, you speak three words of English, and I don't think any of those are part of what you know.
Not in your vocabulary, dude.
Yeah. Oh, like, man. you speak three words of English, and it's none of these. But he's managed by what's his name?
Ali Abdelaziz.
Yeah, that guy. So he's probably tweeting for him. I saw this funny meme where it was like somebody with like a whole wall of cell phones, and they said Ali Abdelaziz tweeting for all the fighters he manages.
that's hilarious. That's a good
one. I got to start keeping track of these things so I can put them on the screen and give people credit, but I'm just not that nice of a person. I just don't think of it like until I'm actually talking about it. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that thing I saw. I have no idea who was responsible for it. Islam Makhachev, the guy who nobody really wants to fight, and Dan Hooker's like, well, I just fought 3 weeks ago, but it's kind of a pain in the ass to go back to New Zealand. So yeah, let's do it. Like, how do you not respect Dan Hooker for taking this?
Like, yeah, man.
And it's not like he had an easy fight. Like, it went three rounds with Hokprast, and, you know, he won it handily, but it still went the distance, and that takes a toll. Credit Dan Hooker, man. Getting in there against the guy nobody really wants to fight in the top 10. Like, people are ducking this guy like crazy. And Dan Hooker's like, yeah, let's run it, man.
Yeah, and part of the reason that Makhachev hasn't been very actively lately is, like you said, nobody wants to fight him. Mm-hmm. They get that phone call, and they're like, pass. So, mm-hmm. Dude, credit to Dan Hooker, man. I think he's going to be slaughtered like a ceremonial cow. But credit to him for taking this fight, dude. You know, Dan Hooker's a tough dude.
For sure. And then we got Alexander Volkov, Marcin Tybura. That's a fun heavyweight fight that probably a lot of people are going to sleep on. And then one that hasn't been talked about too much, Jingliang Li and Khamzat Chimaev making his comeback after his like pseudo-retirement or whatever. You know, here's a guy fought three times in four different weight classes somehow. And then he's like, yeah, I'm going to fight every 3 weeks. I smash everybody. And then he gets COVID and he's like, I think I'll retire. It was like one extreme to the next. It's like, you know, one day this guy's fighting every other week. And then the next day he's like, yeah, I think I'm done. Like, you know, nine is a good number. It's always been my lucky number. Let's retire 9-0. And, you know, I guess, you know, once he started feeling good in the gym again, he's like, all right, let's get back in there. This is a tough fight for anybody, though, man. Jingliang Li, super legit. I mean, very stiff, but, like, good power at 170 pounds. Very technical striker. He's got solid grappling defense. You know, can he stop the takedowns of Chimaev? But then remember, Chimaev has power, too. I'm really excited for this fight, Jeff.
Yeah, me too, man. And Jingliang Li, that's a tough motherfucker, man. I don't know if that's the fight you want as you're coming back off of a hiatus fight. Bill, this one's going to be fireworks, man.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And then another one, this will be my sleeper fight pick, Jeff, because I feel like nobody's talking about this one. Magomed Ankalaev and Volkan Ozdemir. And this is on the prelims, I believe. This is an awesome fight. I mean, if you love knockouts, like, these are two knockout artists. Ankalaev is wild with the spinning shit he throws. Ozdemir has that one punch knockout power in both hands. He can knock you out moving backwards. Former title challenger, now bumped down to the prelims. And Ankalaev, he's just a wild man. So this is my sleeper pick, Jeff. I think this is going to be a fight to keep an eye on that not a lot of people are talking about.
Bill, that's a great pick, man. And, yeah, I think Volkan Ozdemir's fall into obscurity is owed to a one Daniel Cormier, because he just ragdolled him in their fight. But Bill, my sleeper pick is actually going to be Martin Tabora versus what's his name? Ivan Drago. Forgot what his name is.
Volkov.
Thank you, Volkov. Bill, I think that's going to be a very good fight. But Bill, I like your pick too.
Thank you. And there were just two more I wanted to point out here. Michael Oleszczyk and Shamil Gamzatov. So Gamzatov 14-0, and Oleszczyk, you know, very solid, well-rounded fighter. I always enjoy watching him fight. Oh, okay. And then, all right, so two more on top of that. Makhmon Amirakani and Lerone Murphy. So Murphy 10-0-1. That's going to be a good one. And then one that kind of confused me, Jeff, is this Yazong Hu against Alan Amadovsky. So who is, this is like an Abbott and Costello, who is 3-2? So he was 3-0, came to the UFC, lost two in a row, and he's still here. Why is who here?
Wait, who's on second? What are you talking about?
No, what's on third?
Bill, I don't know who is. But, Bill, Makhmon Amirakani versus Lerone Murphy, that looks like a really good fight to me, dude. Amirakani's a tough dude, really well-rounded. And Murphy still has a zero in that loss column. So, looks like he has a one, either a tie or no contest. But that's a really good fight too. Mm-hmm. And I'm not gonna be able to watch the prelims, unfortunately. Maybe I could go back and watch them after this event with NJHS here.
Yeah. I'm gonna see how I'm gonna be able to watch this card. I have three of my fighters having Muay Thai fights this weekend in Orlando, and I don't think I'm going to be able to go. My parents are also visiting this week. They fly in on Wednesday night, so I'm going to have to pick them up at the airport around 9 p.m. After I'm done coaching on Wednesday evening, and then they're going to be here until Monday. So I'm going to have to fit this in. I got three of my guys fighting in Orlando on Saturday that I'm going to have to try and watch.
Bill, just take your parents to Disney World. Yeah, and then bada boom, you're already there.
I should, you know, make them buy their own tickets. I have my annual pass.
There you go.
And then have them take us out to dinner or something.
There you go.
I would like to try and get out to Orlando to support my boys here. And then I'm going to a concert on Friday night, Jeff. The great and powerful Buddy Guy. Probably my favorite guitar player on the planet. So my dad got me these tickets for my birthday 2 years ago in 2019. And the concert was supposed to be in March of 2020. Mm-hmm. And it got pushed back. And my parents were supposed to come visit. My parents haven't come to visit since the pandemic happened. So the concert got pushed back. It got rescheduled for like the following year around the same time. And then, you know, there was a resurgence or Delta variant or whatever was going on, got pushed back to October of this year. So I'm going to go see the great Buddy Guy. My dad took me to see Buddy Guy when he was 72 years old. Buddy Guy, not my dad. My dad's in his 60s. But I didn't have very high expectations, Jeff. I was like, you know, I like his music and everything, but the guy is 72. Like, you know, what can he really do? Blew my mind, Jeff, when I saw this guy play a guitar in person. Like, he just has this presence that's so electric, just phenomenal. If you're not familiar with Buddy Guy's music, he's been an influence to guys like Jimi Hendrix and Eric Clapton and a lot of the classic guitar players basically taught Jimi Hendrix how to use the wah pedal, you know, make those cool sounds that, that Jimmy was able to get out of the guitar. And I believe he's in his 80s now, Jeff. And I'm still really looking forward to this show. I'm going to, you know, go see a concert with my dad on Friday and watch these fights somehow on Saturday and hopefully see three of my guys come away victorious in Muay Thai. It's going to be a good weekend. So yeah, a lot of fun and exciting things. And then I said earlier that there were some more whiskey things I wanted to talk about. So I stopped in at a local liquor store to me. You've been there, Jeff. It's Lukens in Dunedin, Florida. That's where we got that bottle of Lagavulin when you came down to visit many moons ago. And I was in there, and they have like a little bar in there. And basically what they did was they started taking all the rare bottles that they have, and instead of hiding them behind the counter or like, you know, locking them in a vault or whatever, they open them up and they let you buy samples of them. So I got to try the Old Forester Birthday Bourbon, which comes out once a year. And Old Forester is one of my favorite distilleries. And they come out with this birthday bourbon once a year, and they allocate bottles across the country. And you never know, like, where you're going to find it or how you're going to find it. Like, these bottles sell for thousands of dollars aftermarket. And people camp out for like 3 days outside the distillery to try and get a bottle of this when it's released every year, to the point where the distillery is not going to do it anymore because they said, you know, people camp out. And then if they sell out, like, people get abusive to the staff and stuff. So they're just not going to do it anymore. But so Lukens wound up getting two bottles this year. They sold one, and the other one they opened up and put it behind the bar. So I was able to buy a 1 ounce sample of it, and it was fantastic. It's part of my bourbon bucket list, like a whiskey that I've always wanted to try, and I had the opportunity to try it. So shout out to Lukens for, you know, spreading the wealth, so to speak. And I was talking to the guy, his name's Dave. He's like the head whiskey guy over there. And he was telling me, like, I would rather, you know, experience a lot of people being able to enjoy this than, you know, seeing the bottle posted on Instagram and, like, you know, Tampa Whiskey Society or whatever, and it just sits on somebody's mantle and never gets opened or enjoyed. And, you know, that might be the case too. If I were able to get a hold of a bottle, I would be like scared to open it. Like, it's like such a rare bottle, and like, people pay so much money for it, you almost don't want to open it. But I even have sitting right behind me, Jeff, I don't know if you can see on this shelf, but I have an Old Forester single barrel that I've been too scared to open, but I'll probably have to crack it open one of these days. And Mark Fellows joining the show, pointing out that I really love whiskey and I should have a dedicated channel to it. You may get your request, Mark. It's on the way. The logo is done. It just we just have to tweak like the colors a little bit, and then, you know, hopefully in the next week or two, I should be rolling out the whiskey round. It'll be called, Jeff. So, you know, rounds of drinks, rounds of conversation, rounds of fighting, rounds of ammunition. I don't know. Lots of stuff. The Whiskey Round. It's the name of the new channel that's going to be coming out. Dedicated to whiskey and good conversation, not necessarily having to do with MMA, even though I will continue to do this show week after week. So that was that. And then while we were bar hopping with my wife, I found a bottle of Russell's Reserve 13-year-old bourbon, which I had been searching for the past year and a half or so since it was released. Never been able to find it. Finally found it in a bar, and I got to sample that as well. So I checked two whiskeys off of my bourbon bucket list, so to speak, Jeff. So it's been a good weekend, booze-wise, MMA-wise, life-wise, celebrating the wife's birthday, and you know, everything in between. Life is good, man. No complaints. Even though I seem to drink an awful lot for somebody who doesn't like to complain.
No, it's probably the reason you don't complain.
Yeah, that's what keeps me leveled. It's like, oh, I really feel like complaining. Oh, wait, look at all this whiskey I have at my fingertips. Yeah, but lots of other exciting things, Jeff. I've been doing a lot of drinking to do research for the new show. And, you know, hopefully for those of you who enjoy, you know, the whiskey portion of MMA on the Rocks, which, you know, I always love stating is ironic because I never drink whiskey on the rocks, but MMA Neat would have been a stupid name for a show. So here we are. But for those of you who do enjoy the whiskey banter, you know, there's a lot more coming. The YouTube channel will be launched in the next week or two. So please subscribe. Please subscribe to MMA on the Rocks if you haven't already. Leave us reviews. Leave comments on the YouTube videos. Leave us thumbs up because somebody's been trolling and putting thumbs down on a bunch of the videos. It's weird because YouTube lets you know, like, oh, your like ratio is off. And I didn't know what the hell that meant. Apparently it meant like somebody was disliking our content. So fuck you to whoever that is. And yeah, anything else you want to get off your chest, Jeff?
Nah, dude, I'm excited. I'm excited for the cards coming up. I'm excited to watch, not the next one, but the one after with you, Bill, because it's been, I think the last time I went to visit you was probably 2018.
Oh, man. Yeah, it probably was.
Because, you know, we had Dave and Lisa's wedding. That was 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working at the private school, which I remember because I didn't have enough saved up to go and visit you that year. And that school year was when the pandemic started. And then last year, everything was closed. So yeah, it'll be about 3 years since I've gone to visit you. Ariana's huge now. So there's that.
Yeah. She's going to have a good time. You know, what's funny, Jeff, is she has her little like iPad and she watches like kids videos on, and she uses my wife's YouTube channel and she subscribes to the show. So there was, you know, the clip art of us and the show that came up in her feed, and she got so excited. She's like, look, Daddy, you're on here. And Uncle Jeff. And she got so excited. See, even though she's sitting right in front of me, she was excited to see me on her iPad and you. So Mark Fellows leaving an additional comment to help the YouTube algorithm. Much appreciated, my brother. From all the way on the other side of the globe. We appreciate you sharing Dan Hooker with us, you know, even though he's from New Zealand, but, you know, same time zone. Anything else, Jeff, you want to get off your chest?
Bill, that's all I got for you, man. Like you said, life's good. Too blessed to be stressed.
That's right. And you're going to be here live and in person in 2 weeks. Looking forward to that. You know, we'll talk some fights and hopefully get some live content. Maybe we'll get you on an episode of the Whiskey Round, Jeff. Let's see.
Yeah,
I don't
know.
Let's
do it, man. Let's go fishing. Might get wild. Yeah, dude, I want to go fishing. And, you know, if we find a dolphin, you know, make friends with a dolphin. Let's do it.
Like, when you say make friends, like, never mind.
Wait, what do you think I mean? I'm not going to fuck it in the blowhole if that's what you're
thinking. It's just, you know, sometimes sailors get lonely.
Oh, man.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what you were hoping for on this trip.
Oh, man.
It's like, yeah, maybe we'll have some whiskey. Maybe we'll fuck a dolphin. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Oh, man.
It's going to get wild. Over the top. Under the influence. If you're still with us and you want to buy some merchandise, you're going to... The new Fuck a Dolphin in the Blowhole shirts will be available soon. If not, the Over the Top Under the Influence shirts, tank tops, and hoodies are still available through our friends at Team Reaper. Reaper1.co is the website. I'll put it in the show notes. As always, You can use the promo code MMARocks10. That's MMAROCKS10 for those of you who can't spell. And save yourself 10% off on your whole order, whether it's on our merchandise or supporting a local level fighter or a Bellator fighter or a UFC fighter or buying some training gear, whatever you need, get 10% off. Promo code MMARocks10. I think we better call it here, Jeff, before we get ourselves in some real trouble. Haven't already, we may have been canceled after this episode. I don't know. I'll have to talk with the producer after we get off the air and, you know, see if they're happy. The producer is me, and I don't think I'll be disappointed. So,
yeah, but the YouTube algorithm is screwed with that fucking Dolphins comment.
It's YouTube giving us the thumbs down every week. Like, fuck these guys. They just say whatever they want. Think they can get away with it. We can't cancel them. I can't imagine these. That's what I imagine these people that put a thumbs down. Like, I've seen plenty of YouTube videos I don't like. I just watch something else.
Yeah.
I never put the thumbs down. I never leave bad reviews for anything that I don't like. I just don't use it anymore.
Yep.
But, you know, the world is what it is and people are who they are. And, you know, if you like us, stay subscribed to the show. Turn your notifications on. Leave us a review. Leave us comments. All that good stuff that helps us out more than you realize. We appreciate all of you for tuning in. And that's all we got. So if you want to get a hold of Jeff, it's at @animal_Wilson, Twitter and Instagram. You guys know how to get a hold of me. It's at MMA on the Rocks everywhere on social media. Send me an email if you want. MMAontherocks@gmail.com. That's all we got. Until next time. Cheers, everybody. Goodbye.